principality that's operating in the earth realm. And if we're paying particular attention, say pay attention. We're seeing something happen in our day and time that has already occurred. And it's happening at a greater degree and a greater frequency. You're having the best of times and the worst of times operating in the same season. The best of times and the worst of times happening at the same time. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what we are going through is a result of activities that have happened over the years. This is, and I'm going to say this unequivocally, this is a judgment on our nation. This COVID-19 is a judgment on our nation, and it's taking people out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Glory to God. And we have to understand, say understand. God allows things. He allows it. Say he allows it. Because he's trying to be redemptive. Say redemptive. Say get my attention. It's time to line up. Say line up. God is calling us back to holiness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say holiness. He's calling us by holiness. And what that means is what? Oneness with the Father. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's why he said holiness. Say holiness. Doesn't mean being better than someone else. Do you understand me? It means getting to the place where you and the Father are one. Say one. And your whole desire is being at one with him. And your prayers are this. Father, what do you want to see happen today? Can you hear me? Father, what do you want to do with me today? Not, Father, I need this. Father, I need that. Father, I need. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Father knows your needs before you even ask. Huh? But God is looking for a people that will come into union with him so that he can walk out, say, his plans. Do you know his plans are better than ours? Do you know God has a plan for you that you know not of? Do you know that the Father wants to do things in your life, but he can't do it without your permission? Say permission. You have to permit God to do what he wants to do in your life. He will not do what you won't allow him to do, and he won't push you to do what he wants you to do. Do you understand me? So we're in a place where we need to recognize that it's time to get our life together. Say, get my life together. And praying ain't going to turn things around. Repentance will. It's repentance that the Lord is looking for. The Father is looking for repentance. I'm sorry for what we have done. I'm sorry for my lifestyle. I'm sorry for my attitude. I'm sorry for missing you and continuing to miss you. I'm sorry, Father, for keeping you out of my life. I put everybody in my life but you. I give you my life when I want something from you. And the Father said, that is got to stop.
Amen.
That's not real relationship. That's whoredom. You just come for me to get a thrill and then you gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless me, God, and I'm going on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And the Father's trying to get the church first. Say the church. Because that's supposed to be the lifesaver. Say the life preserver. The church is the life preserver to those who are drowning. The church is the life preserver for those who are struggling to make ends meet. It's the church. Say the church. The problem that the Father is trying to deal with is that the church looks just like the world. They look just like the people of the world, having the same problems as the people of the world and acting like there's no solution. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God is looking for people who will stand out. Say, stand out. Now, another thing the Father told me as I was praying the other day, he said, for this house, say, for this house, start to really study. You're not studying. You're not studying, and I can't take you farther because you're not getting into the Word and doing the homework yourself. Pastor Reggie is not your study guy. Do you follow me, saints? He wants you to begin to study with him. What do I mean? Opening your Bible, getting notebook paper out, and begin to study what he is trying to give you. Say, get quiet. And when we come back into this place, our Bible studies will be interactive, and not one person dictated, but an interactive Bible study where you've done your homework and you've got questions or you've got answers that all of us may need. So it's a Bible study where everybody's interacting and nobody's coming saying, I didn't read it, I don't understand it, show me something. Do you follow me, saints? Because you are supposed to be God's scholars. You lead people to life. There are people in your life that need a word. And they don't need you to be soft. Loving, this is not love. Knowing to tell people what they need to do and scared because you're afraid they're going to leave your life. Some things need to be told. Say, some things need to be told. And people need to be, what? Truth need to hit them straight in the eyes. Because we don't need to be standing before a righteous God. And he looks at you and says, you have 40 years to get it right. You've been in church 40 years and you still didn't get this right. Do you know you can be in church but not covered by the blood? We should say covered by the roof but ain't covered by the blood. There are some people who have not committed their life to Christ, but they go to church. Or should I say going to a building. Going to a building will not save you. Relationship with Christ is what saves you, whether you're in a building or not. Do you follow me, saints? So we have a responsibility, say responsibility, to walk out the goodness of God. There should be no question. God is looking for mature sons. Say mature sons. They're not questioning their salvation. They're not questioning whether God can help them. They're not screaming and shouting when they're going through problems. They are doing the work of the Lord as the Lord empowers them, knowing that God is going to take care of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Knowing that the Father is going to take care of them, they do what God has called them to do. Why do we do that? Because Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. What's the business of the Father? Showing people who he is. Amen. That's the business of the Father. Letting my life be such an example that they see the living Christ living inside of me. And that is reaching out to people, loving people in the midst of whatever they're going through. Being careful and concerned, stepping out of your comfort zone and letting the Father do what he wants to do in your life. Say, step out of the comfort zone. Say, get out of the emotional realm. Say, emotional realm. Letting your emotions rule you. Do you follow that? Because it will cloud your sound judgment. Say, emotions will cloud your sound judgment. Every relationship you get in, someone should be led to Christ. Or listen to me. A word song. Say a word song. It's not our responsibility. It's not Clint's responsibility to make someone come to Jesus. It is our responsibility to give them truth. As the Holy Spirit leads. Say, as the Holy Spirit leads. And in this season that we're going into, glory to God, we need an intimate, loving relationship with the Holy Spirit. Mother, you need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Jackie needs to. Do you know God can speak to Jackie? And we need to encourage that. Say encourage that. We think because of certain things, people can't hear from God. Say that paradigm has to change. Do you follow what I'm saying? We look at people's external beings and we come to conclusions and put them in little boxes. That stuff has to go. Say, that stuff has to go. Give people responsibility to walk in the goodness of God. Not only is it your privilege to study the Word of God, it's your responsibility to know it. There are people dying in other countries. We got Bibles we can study every day. There are Chinese people. There are Iranian people. There are Arabian people right now who are struggling. China is murdering people in their country. To read the Bible, you got the Bible, you might pick it up twice in a week. See, in America, we spoiled. Can I say this? Lazy and entitled. People dying, but we don't feel it because we're not there. They're losing their lives, and you crying because you ain't got enough money to go to do X, Y, and Z. It really is a wake-up call. And to get real about what you say you believe. And there's a real push for the young people, because God's going to be dealing with the young people.
Amen.
Do you understand? But it's not going to be those young people who are not pressing into God. Those young people who are doing that. Hear me. You might not live to be 40. You might not live to be 30. But one thing you will live to do is stand before God.
Yes.
You're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account for every moment. Say every moment of your life.
Yeah.
Say judgment is necessary. God is a righteous judge. Say judgment is necessary. But God's desire is grace.
Yes.
Do you follow me, saints?
Yes.
And the church is weak. Can't pray. People don't know how to pray through nothing. And God says, I'm not coming back for a church that's flawed. I'm coming by for a church that is without wrinkle. You know what that type of church is? A church that's going to deal with pressure. Get ready for pressure. Because it's pressure that produces Jesus and gets rid of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anything that brings forth success in any area of life will challenge you. And if you're afraid of challenge, you'll always be mediocre. Mediocre people don't rise to great heights. You can't find a billionaire that's mediocre. You can't find a millionaire that's mediocre. You can't find a person making over $500,000 a year and they're mediocre. They work for what they get. You will find mediocrity in poverty. You'll find mediocrity in the middle class. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll find some mediocre people at billionaire status, because some people get the money because their dad and mama made it for them. But they won't hang on to it long. Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? Am I making it clear?
Yes.
And the Father is telling us, he's telling us, don't be looking at others, look at yourself.
Amen.
Look at you, Reggie. What more can you be doing for my kingdom? Because I'm going to judge you about what you're doing for my kingdom. See, the judgment of the saints is not for salvation. The judgment of the saints is what status will you have in heaven? Because everybody won't have the same status. It will be based upon, say based upon, your submission to Christ. Because it's only your submission to Christ that's going to allow you to do great things. Only your submission to Christ that will allow you to do great things. No submission to Christ, little. Say little.
Little.
There will be little reward. Because you can't do it without him.
Amen.
It's impossible to live this life without the Spirit of Christ moving you. And Brother George said something. To die is gain. Let me make this, let me take you to another level. That dying should take place in your life on earth. Do you understand me?
Yes.
See, that dying has to happen here. Because most Christians just want to get to heaven. They do nothing while they're here. And Jesus is going to be angry. Angry. How do you know that, Pastor? Because he says, I'm going to burn it up. I'm going to burn up the sorry, slothful life. I'm going to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble. What's the wood, the hay, and the stubble? The wood, the hay, and the stubble is you trying to work this out for your own self. You living your own life. You living for houses, cars, and all that other stuff. Status. You understand? I say status. Want to be something in life. When the Father simply said, just allow me to be myself in you, everything else will come. People stressing themselves out with debt because they want to have something. Don't get me wrong. They say, don't get me wrong. God wants you to have a nice place. He does. He wants you to pay it off.
Yes.
And leave something to your children. Say, leave something for your children. That's something we black folk don't do. Leave something for your children's children. What do you mean? You got to prepare now. Say, preparations. And truly believe what God says. Do you really believe God says there's nothing too hard for me? Do people really believe that there's nothing too hard for me? Got people now struggling with this thing. Did the prophets tell the truth? Jezebel, you got to understand, Jezebel comes to kill the voice of the prophets. Why is everybody struggling with this? Because they don't have a relationship that's solid. Jeremiah prophesied for 6 years before stuff happened. Lying prophet. You're a problem. And people give a word and it don't happen the way they want it to happen or when it should happen. And they're saying, oh my God, what's going on? What's God teaching us? Stamina. We've been talking about this endurance. You got the word contend. Can you contend for the word of the Lord in your life? How many prophecies have come in your life have a manifest? I contend you ain't contending for them. Not only are you contending, you ain't preparing for them. Because there comes with prophecy a responsibility. If God tells you he's going to do this in your life, what have you prepared? Have you prepared for it? If you haven't prepared, it ain't coming. Because preparation, it comes as a result of anticipation. If you anticipate something, you prepare for it. Don't you follow me? You prepare yourself for it. So you might have gotten the word and just say, put it on the closet. Put it on the shelf. And God says, I'll find someone else. Because he told Elijah to say, tell him it won't rain for what?
3 years.
Well, who had to say it? And he had to what? And to deal with, say deal with. All the naysayers that come with that word. And you can be your naysayer. You can be your naysayer. So words of prophecy come and you ain't battling in them in the spirit and in prayer, you might not see that thing come to pass. Do you understand me? Why wouldn't God put money in your hands and you can't handle business principles? I can't put no money in your hands and you don't know what to do with it. I can't trust you to even do what I'm telling you to do now. And I got to tell you to wrestle, not wrestle. You got to protect this word that I've given you. And you still struggling with a basic word. Go witness. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Why do we get so quiet? Because boy, it's the Spirit of God that gives us the ability to witness. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you won't be a good witness. You just won't. Because again, it goes back to relationships. You have to trust your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's something you have to deal with. Say, deal with. I don't think Pastor Reggie has to work with that. Even though I run through people every day, I'm still asking Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say to that one? And then when he says, do it, what do we? Well, I'll do that tomorrow. Why? She gave me this number to call, but I ain't going to call. Do you follow me? God says, I'm giving you little steps to see your obedience. See what you're going to do with this. And trust comes with what? Continuous obedience to what God has said. Say trust. God loves you, but some of us he can't trust. You know you got children you love, but you can't trust them. Let's be real, huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? We got children, we love them, but we can't trust them to do certain things. And what you can't trust, you can't put responsibility in. But if you trust God to save your children, you better have some rusty knees. Say work. We forgot we have to do the work of the ministry. Say work. Say energon.
Energon.
Greek word means to expend energy. Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? This thing will challenge you. This walk with God will challenge your flesh. Huh? Your emotions. And you know what? We've been preaching the wrong things for too long. People running after prosperity ain't running after God. People running after deliverance ain't running after God. People running after fame and position, favor, and ain't running after God. They want the byproduct of the Father, but they don't want the Father. See, they want the good things they can get from God, but they don't want to submit to the Father so the Father can use them to fulfill his divine purposes in the earth. And what we see, say what we see. As a result of all of that, God gives us a template that we can look at. That's why I've had you to read verses. If you started reading 1 and 2 Kings, you probably will read the whole thing because you got to go into context. It'll take you back and say, I want to get some context. If you're really reading and studying, you should now be through a whole lot of books of 1 and 2 Kings. If you're not, you're stuck right where I told you to read, and you probably ain't finished it. God told me to tell you, if I, the pastor, give you something to read, why aren't you reading and studying it? If there's a word coming out of this church, I like Matthew Stevenson, but God told you to study this. You in this house, Matthew Stevenson people studying that pastor's word. Why aren't you studying your pastor's word? People studying Bill Winston's word in their church. But God has given you a word for this house, and you studying someplace else? Do you understand me? That's like you studying calculus, or you're studying differential equations in this class, but you don't study the work for this class. You go study the work for someone else's class. What can I do but fail you? Do you follow me? Because you're here on assignment. Do you follow me? Bible study is just like, it's more important to God than your classwork. Because the need for me to be an engineer might end when I get to heaven. I'm going to be a builder. I'm going to be building with Jesus. You follow me? But there's a requirement. You're only here to influence others. Do you know why you have to go to work? See, we've been told you got to go to work so you can have some things. Buy a house over. No. You go to work so God can teach you discipline. God can give you stuff. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. I'm taking y'all all out of y'all comfort zone right now. Taking y'all all out of your comfort zone right now. Because see, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. You've been conformed that you got to go to work so I give me a house. God gives you the ability to work so that you can affect others. Because if most people didn't go to work, they won't know nobody. People barely know that. We try to witness the people who move next door to us. Some people wouldn't allow us to witness them because they're drug dealers. Don't tell nobody, the children, don't tell nobody about what goes on. Don't you talk to nobody. Those people that move next door to us, African Americans, we're trying to minister to them, they're not telling, don't you talk to them people, because they came there selling drugs, and they want nobody to let them know what they're doing undercover. Made me cry. Because if you feel like you got to sell drugs to live, man, you wasted your life. You got to kill people in order to make yourself live, make a living. And it's a trip. People are so into themselves and they're doing stuff that's crooked. They don't even want to engage with nobody else. That's the world we live in. White people do it too. Hispanic people do it too. Do you follow me? Because the Bible says none good, but no, not one. But he says, my people I want them to be different.
Amen.
I want my people to be different. But my people perish because of lack of knowledge. In the church, y'all serve the same Jesus, but you're divided. How's that possible? Because God is not the center. See, what has happened, Satan has made black people dependent on the government. White people depend upon money and commerce. That's their God. This is ours. Why is government our job? Because most of our people get some form of government assistance. So who becomes your God now? Whoever pays you. They running after money. They're running after money. Because they got access to it. But money runs their life. They go to work, don't want to go to work. Pressure, all this pressure. Because both of them in the supposedly in the body of Christ, but they got a different. I put little D. Can't come to church because I got to go to work. The only work that's available, retail. Because you don't have to have a degree to work in retail. But you're going to work every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because I got to get the. Got to get the money. And they got the string. Pull you wherever they want to go. Do you follow me? Do you see this? So do you see how these principalities though they are Old Testament gods, they are operating in the lives of modern day humanity in 2021. These spirits never die. Spirits don't die, we die. They just show up in different forms. And Baal says, I'm going to be your God. And I'm going to make you trust me more than you trust your God. Huh? And because you don't have a foundation in the Father, say a foundation in the Father. And you're living by your flesh, though you might go to church, you will still rule by this. So if you take government out of this network, you're going to close daycare centers because daycare centers run by government assistance.
That's right.
Because people don't pay for daycare no more. At certain levels of income. You follow me? Government give people subsistence. They can't get an apartment. Can't get nothing without it. What Satan has done, he's been ingenious at doing it, is becoming what God wants to be. I'm going to become for them. Because if you have not prepared for life, you will be a slave to others. Do you understand what I'm saying, James? So they taught our children less. You got children who graduate from high school, can't do nothing. That wasn't 40 years ago. I'm setting up a president. Say setting up a president. Because God says, wake up. People come to church to get a, they don't get spiritual. They come to get an entertainment shot. And people ain't even going to church now because they're scared of COVID. This thing, say COVID. Check it out. I'm going. It say COVID-19. Why 19? Why not 20? Why not COVID-15? Because from the time that Israel, God attacked Israel three times to wake them up. Say shaking. God hit the northern kingdom first. He hit the southern kingdom second. He hit AD 70, when Rome came totally obliterated. The northern kingdom, you read about that when you read in First Kings and Second Kings. All right? Northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyria. Southern kingdom was destroyed by Babylonia. This kingdom was destroyed by the Roman Empire. You follow what I'm saying? 19 years from the first shaking, God shook them the first time. 19 years later, they hadn't changed. Assyrians came and wiped them out. If you've been reading, you see something called the eagle. The Bible mentions the eagle coming and the eagle bringing pestilence. I know some of y'all ain't read, so I'm going to have to help y'all out. Why did God use the eagle? Because an eagle strikes suddenly and an eagle strikes powerfully. The eagle sees his prey 2 miles up before he even recognizes it. The eagle goes, and like a hawk, he comes down. And when he comes down, he's at full speed. And because of the strength of his talent, when he hits his opponent or he hits the unsuspecting, say unsuspecting, bam, it's hard, fast, brutal, and powerful, and they dead. The Assyrians came and hit Israel just like that. Powerful. Not only were they powerful, they were fierce. So God says, like an eagle, I'm going to send Assyria and they're going to deal with you. Because I've been dealing with y'all for a whole generation and you steal your old selfish way. Southern kingdom. Saw what God did to the northern kingdom. Did they adjust? What's God showing us? Y'all just like them. If you don't take care of yourself, say, take care of yourself and stay connected to me, you're going to do just like them because you are no different. Reggie, you ain't no different. If you don't check yourself, you'll be just like them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, when this thing starts to hit the church, they hit the church. The church should went to their knees. The priesthood, say the priesthood. Because anything hits the priesthood unannounced, and God is your strong tower. And God says, I'm your strong tower and whom you can run into and be saved. And stuff hit your house, the question should be, God, what's going on? Because there's a breach somewhere. Say a breach. What is a breach? A hole in your protective wall somewhere. Do you follow me, saints? There's a hole, which means there's an area of your life that's unconsecrated. There's an area of your life that's nasty before me. And God says, you open the door for the enemy to come in. Do you understand? People say, it ain't got to be that you quote unquote over here smoking crack or something like that. You just not doing what God told you to do. Angry and deceitful, mean spirit, angry. Do you follow me, saints? Attitudes God's been dealing with you for 10, 15 years, you still won't change. And ain't going to change. That's just the way I am. And God said, you stiff-necked. Notice he called them stiff-necked. People who have seen God do great things. Man, I don't. If I saw St. Petersburg Bay open up, can I be real? That's what's like. If I see St. Petersburg Bay from Braden side to the St. Pete side, and God open that door up, and I'm walking through to the other side, then I see my enemies destroyed, I might have to pay attention to the power of God. You follow that? And yet they didn't. And God says, y'all just like him. When you don't trust them. So we live in a generation where people fall like flies. I'm talking to people every day. People fall off the planet. In the church. We just lost a member in our old church. But her son calls me and Pastor Rita. And when we got off the phone, I felt like I had been talking to a man who had been in a party. Billy Williams, Billy Jr. Cann called up and said, "That brother, when I read and I hung up the phone, I said, my God, you just thought, well, he acted just like his mama went to heaven." He was just joy. He said, "Now, Pastor," he said, "now that might be some times when I'm, you know, when I think about it, I get a little bit low. But right now, I'm feeling good, mom." And all Pastor Reed did was let him talk.
Yeah.
And I say, my God. And you know what his issue was? Simply this: I know where my mama is.
Yes.
Mama was preparing us for this. And then she told him, do not put me on no life support. Let me go home. Some people scared to die in Christ. What you scared of? No revelation of where you're going. Do you see how this issue is so prevalent that we play. We don't take this life seriously. And we have to start. They have to start. It's supposed to be a joyful life.
Yes.
Not to be something we dread. It shouldn't be something where death should not scare us. It shows that we're connected to this earth and not recognize we have two levels of citizenship. We're citizens here in America, but the citizenship in heaven is the one that's most important. And pastors are afraid to teach this. So you got traditions. You've been to some funerals, you come out depressed. If the angels are rejoicing, why is the body of Christ? Y'all been to funerals like that with people trying to take other people out of the box? Didn't they usually the one that treated them like a dog before they died? So Clint, that's why I'm so serious about teaching. Not hooping and hollering. It ain't about hooping. It's about teaching. So people can what? Understand. Then based upon the understanding that you get from walking this out experience, you can help others. Because people need help. I'm telling you. God's bringing some stuff on the planet for redemption.
Yeah.
Why? Because in order for God to get people's attention, he got to shake up their stuff. Mm-hmm. So the first shaking came in 2001 in America. Say 2001. Say 2001. Because we were such unchurched people, we didn't see it. How can two planes, just like the Eagle, do you know American Airlines was the plane they used? And eagles was on the emblem of the wing. God always gives you templates. All three of those planes had eagles on the wings. What did I say the eagle represents? Swift, powerful, immediate destruction. That's what the eagle represents. An eagle, if you've never seen an eagle attack something, it'll mess you up. Eagles and hawks. I'm playing golf in California. I'm getting ready to tee off. All of a sudden, hawk comes in. That rabbit ain't have a shot. Bam! Rabbit. Boom, dead. I'm like, oh. Because it was right over here. I'm getting ready to tee off. Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom in my face. Then the hawk gutted him. And then pulling out intestines. And he looking at me like, "Yo, what's up, dog? I'm eating. Leave me alone." Hawk looking at me like, "What's up, dog? I'm eating. Leave me alone, man. Go play your game." Intestines rolling up in there. That poor rabbit didn't know what happened. Bam! Eating. And see the Romans. Say the Romans. You see the Old Testament stories. Well, the Roman legions, they got a flag that's like the insignia. Every platoon in the army has a symbolizing. Guess what's on the Roman's flag? a golden eagle. Why? Because they're strong and powerful. They strike quickly and they kill utterly. And that's what happened. The eagle came and took Israel out in AD 70. See, God moves through history. Notice it says history. His, take it away. His what? Story. And so we teach the Bible, but we don't teach it in context. And sometimes we just don't teach it. We just throw it out there so people can holler and shout, ah! Preach, Pastor. Preach that word, Pastor. Call him 30 minutes later. What did I talk about? I don't know, Pastor, but it sounds real good. I got you all geeked up. Now, and now you're coming home and the devil's standing behind the door ready to sucker punch you. Oh, you got happy, didn't you? Boo! Bill collect the call. Where my money? What am I going to do? I don't see you talking to Jesus now. They used a couple of my words, a couple of GDs, B. Oh, yeah. We rolling. Do you see that? Like God don't see us in our homes when nobody watching but us. Do you follow me, saints? Say repentance. See, COVID goes when the nation repents. Says, God, we've been living a lie before you. 2001, the tower gets torn down. Twin towers. Say significant. Because towers represent strength in the scriptures. What's the first tower they built? Babel. The Greek word for tower is gadol. Gadol means strength. In Hebrew, it equates to tower. Ain't nothing secret in the Bible. God is wide open to those who study. Remember, he says in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, chapter verse number 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to what? Search out the matter. Say, hello, kings.
Hello, kings.
I'll show it to you. You got to search it out. I'll put it in the book where you look and find it. Proverbs 25, verse number 2. Mm-hmm. So towers. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 28. Go there. Deuteronomy 28. Why do we go back to the past so we can chart our future? Because God wants us to say, learn some things so we can apply some things. And maybe teach this to other folks who are asking why. Because God's got the church thinking about a lot of things. Pastor Rena and I went to the OMC summit yesterday. Best summit I think we've ever been to. Say, but challenging. Because some people were making comments about the prophets. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 20. Says God speaks to his prophets. Go there with me. Go to 2 Chronicles. We're going to come back to Deuteronomy. Whew, God. Man, I was up. I got up at 4 o'clock last night. But it was good reading. Say good reading. God, you know, God started talking to you in them early morning hours. Can't try that. God, you know that, though, don't you? Daddy be talking to you, don't you? Got your undivided attention. Say sacrifice some time. It'll do you good. When you get that, somebody read, I think it's 2 Chronicles 20:20.
So they got up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe and trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established, secure. Believe and trust in his prophets and succeed.
Believe in who?
The prophets.
Not before that.
Believe in what?
Because if you believe God, you'll believe his prophets. Do you follow me? Notice how God puts it in order. It says, believe who? Then he says, believe who? Because he talks to his. So if you got a question with God, you can have a question with prophets. And one of the pastors, one of the members of our group is Methodist. They don't believe in, they believe that what? Cessation. That those prophetic gifts ended. So any prophet is a false. Because they don't have prophets anymore. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, let three prophets, if one prophesies, let a third, say three, come together. Say prophets are conferred with one another. Why? Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to them. Do you follow me? Do you follow that? And see, you got people still in prophetic stages of development. This is a apostolic prophetic house, but y'all not complete? I'm not complete. Do you follow me? So we're still being what? Developed as we. Say as we. Say we got to do something. You understand what I'm saying, saints? And we got to let God deal with us. Say deal with us. Because guess what? All of y'all bring your own ideas. You've been at one church for how many years? God got to deal with that. I've been in a church for X amount of years. Guess what? God's dealing with that. Because God's still forming this house.
Yes.
He's forming me. Because what I thought I was going to do when I came here, God is changing that up. And guess what he's saying? Y'all all got to grow with us.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Do you follow me? Because what you bring in ain't going to work for what I'm taking you into.
Yes.
Do you follow what I'm saying? And there are certain young people I'm going to use because I can trust them. They're not looking for friendship with others who are outside of the will of God. God connects troops, say tribes. See, certain people God connects and brings people with so that they can fulfill the plan that he has for not only them, but for the whole scope. Because remember, I said we look micro, say micro, small. But God looks macro, large. How do you fit? Because how you fit will determine how you function. I should say how you function will determine how you fit. Because you might not fit with certain people. Do you follow that? But if God places you in a house, it places you in a house. There should be functions. Now, I believe God's getting ready to really start to blow churches up. But he's scattering some churches because they ain't ready for what he wants to do. Some churches aren't going to open back up because they weren't supposed to be open in the first place. Their realignments. Because some men in church is just to get. Some men in church is just to play with the women in the church. Some in the church to get both. Some think it's a livelihood. You go get a degree to be a pastor. Find that in the word. Just because you got a degree now, you can pastor. And some Bible schools, say some Bible schools, they don't teach you nothing about God. They teach you history and that's it. It's a spiritual book. It's supposed to be some spiritual manifestations coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, people don't understand that when you become a believer, your life isn't yours. People don't understand that. They don't understand that. They believe when they become believer, I can do what I want. It's a really simple principle, because everybody has responsibilities with relationship. They tell you to be to work at 8 o'clock, you're going to be to work at what?
8 o'clock.
They give you an assignment, you better come. I've never been to my boss and said, I ain't going to do this. And don't you ever ask me to do this. Clint, I think I'll be walking out the street looking for somebody to give me a job. But yet we think we can come and connect with God and do what we want to do. Do you know when I became a real believer, I lost what I thought were friends? People I thought I was tight with, when I started walking with God, they kicked me to the curb. I ain't kick them to the curb, Clint. They kicked me to the curb. I'm thinking we cool. And I got depressed. Then the Father starts saying, when you get depressed, get in the Word. And then the Father says, I will give you a friend that sticks closer than a blood brother or sister. And one of them I've known for over 35, going on 40 years. Pastor Everett Whiteside. My children know each other. We cross generational. I'm closer to him than I am my blood brothers. And I love my brothers. But there's some things I can't talk to my brothers about because they're not spiritually mature. They don't want to hear that. And guess what? I'm comfortable with that because you got to know your limitations. You know when people mess up relationships? When you put more emphasis on people than you should. That's when you get hurt. You got to know what to give. Know what to invest. Do you follow me? Love them. Say love them. But if they don't want to hang, they don't want to hang. Can't make nobody like you. You can't make your children like you. I'm just real. You can't make your children like you. You can't make your children do what they want and what you want them to do. They gonna do what they and God has given them the free will because they do God like that. So when God finds somebody that will spend time with them, you better believe he took full advantage of that. Because that's why he created us. Do you understand what I'm saying? I thank God for my gifts. But I don't put my gifts above my God. I can draw with the best of them. I can design with the best of them. I can build with the best of them. I can write with the best of them. But I don't put that above my God. And God is asking for people who will truly love him. And be sold out. Say sold out. I don't know about you, but I don't like people who use me. But guess what? God said love them. Love them. Say love them. Clint, you can't do that unless the Holy Spirit is moving in you. It's hard to hate to love people that don't like you and they tell you don't like you. But God says, I want you what? So when you see him, say see him, you talk to him. Had a lady come to work. She told me, I don't like you. We didn't ask for you. I don't know why you're here. When Rita saw her, Rita just saw her. She said, I don't even like her. And I was like, dang, baby doll, own it. I was like, ooh, baby doll. Boom, done. Pete Toho got problem. Boop, boop, boop. I called my boss and he said, that's why I hired you. I said, what do you mean why you? He said, beyond your impeccable qualifications, Reggie, I know the Holy Spirit in you will help you to handle that type of person. I was like, bro, you put too much on me. But when I left 7 years later, that woman was crying. I am so sorry. The things I said, you've been the greatest thing for this company. And I'm so sorry that this is happening to you, Rachel. Hugged me, cried on my shoulder. And I'm saying, Lord have mercy. God, you're good. I couldn't even punch her. You know what I'm saying? Because I saw God just softening her heart, you know, just softening her heart. I tried to stay away from her as much as I could, but when I went there, I did what she said. I was kind, I was cordial. I did whatever she asked me to do. I followed through. I did stuff for her. I did to the best of my abilities. And 7 years later, she's crying. And I couldn't give nobody the glory but God. Because it was not in what I thought was my best interest to be nice to this woman. But you never know what people go through, man. You never know what created that type of individual, because there was a softness about her that was bottled up on the inside. Yeah. God will use you to break that up in someone. So you guys are sent here to be the change that God wants to see in the earth, and you are equipped to do that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Say equipped.
Equipped.
But you got to do it. Quit procrastinating. Be about your Father's business. Be flexible. You know who you are? You are a child of God who happens to be a psalmist, who happens to be an apostle, who happens to be a teacher, who happens to be a pastor, who just happens to be ministries of health, who just happens out of my sonship this flows. That's not who, that does not define me. It's out of my sonship that I do these things. I'm not defined by somebody calling me an apostle or a prophet or a son. That does not define me. What defines me, I'm a child of God. And out of that, all this stuff flows. So if you call me Brother Reggie, I don't get bent out of shape. Do you follow me? Because that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. When you take all that stuff away, because only He can confer those titles on you and have you walk in it. Now, somebody can call you this, but that don't mean you're going to walk in it.
Amen.
Somebody can give you a title, apostle, prophet, all these other terms, and God ain't got nothing to do with you. You might want to like stay away from them. Smoke might be coming. You understand what I'm saying? See? Because we got to get back to making this thing simple. Some people in here for tithes and titles. Some people in here trying to get 1,000 people. Man, I just want people who want to love God.
Jesus.
Do you think I want to be right here telling you all what to do? I want you all to be doing what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. That makes my life easier. You follow me, Clint? When you get to the point, man, where you can do what God tells you to do, my God, you'll start seeing doors swing wide open. Say wide open. Because it says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his what? Righteousness and all these things what? We be added to you. You won't have to be worried. One thing I'll say about Rachel, I thank God for her. God provided that girl college education, monies and everything. Just open up doors for her. Boom. Just like, I mean, everything she did was just dropping. I'm sitting there saying, well, go God.
That's right.
And I see her struggling. Let her struggle. You know, you'd be wanting to go over there and talk to the Holy Spirit and say, stop. I got this. It's my daughter. Because, you know, parents want to go mingle.
Yeah.
You want to make things work.
Yeah.
God says, stop it. That's my child. Girl been there, wake us up praying. I'm just tearing out. I'm like, dang. Rachel, because you got a girl that don't go into work. Me and Rita be like, okay, y'all say, let's go to sleep.
Yeah.
She's different.
Yeah.
I mean, that girl fight 10 up something. I said, Lord, whatever devil she whooping on. Glory to God. She get breakthrough up in here.
Amen.
Come talk to us. What you hear? But it's a blessing to see her walking out her divine destiny in Christ. Seeing her impact her. She the baby, and she impacted her older siblings.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Keep going.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hey, David impacted his older siblings, didn't he?
Yeah.
Joseph impacted his older siblings, didn't he?
Yeah.
Thank God. Because they need help too. Because sometimes they ain't listening to mama and daddy. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But mama and daddy still praying. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You follow that? Just a casual talk. God's got me going this way. I'm just formed by the Spirit of God. It's a challenge to come up higher. You continue. Say you're contending for your future and your now. You should be settling. It's easy to settle. It's so easy. It's so easy to do nothing. It is so easy. Can I get an amen? It's so easy to do nothing. It's so easy to convince yourself, I can push this off to tomorrow. I ain't got to do this right now. Let me think about this. And God is saying, you're just pushing your destiny back. You might not even see nothing I promised you because you think you got time. You think you got time. God says, I told you to attend it. Lord, teach me to number my days that I might attune my heart unto wisdom. Because you don't know when your day coming. And it ain't about me going to heaven. I mean, that's not an issue for me. My issue is this. Will I finish the course that the Father put me on? Will I be able to stand before Daddy and say, well done, son? My desire. To hear Pop say, well done. And enjoy the life while I'm doing it. Because I'm telling you, when you do what God calls you to do, joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. Do you understand what I say? Do you know? Say ministry. George, myself, and Clint playing pool. 4 hours. That was good ministry. We had a good time. Ate good. I beat him up on the pool table.
Still practicing the mistake.
But Cornelia, say Cornelia. Engagement. Clint new to George. We getting a chance to what? Know one another. Say ministry. We don't pay attention to what ministry is all about. It is about engaging, learning to know one another, being open and transparent, being willing to touch each other's wounds, and not worried about somebody beating you up because you don't touch something that God wants you to touch in them so there can be a healing. That's a problem right there. You need to let me touch that. Or creating an environment of intimacy where he can come and ask me anything he needs and knowing that it's going to be confidential. That your pastor can come to you and be open and not have his business all over. A lot of pastors don't have people like that. You know what I'm saying? So they got to be guarded. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shoot, Clint could call me and say, Pastor, I got a word. I'll be like, yeah, what's the word, Clint? What's what God did? Because if God can speak to me, he can speak to him. Because I had a dream about you. Oh, what you hear? What you understand? Because see, some people look at pastors. You got some people who can't stand pastors because they got preconceived notions about pastors that they had prior to.
That's right.
So now they put their eyes and they put their perspective on a pastor because of something that's gone wrong with them. So now you've closed up your ability to receive what God might be transmitting from that individual. And see, what God does is this. He teaches us to love one another so we can receive and supply one another. Yes. See, we understood how a body truly works. Every cell supplies as it is being supplied.
That's right.
You don't have cells telling other cells, like, I don't want what you got.
Right.
The only one is the cancer cell. You know what I'm saying? Say them cancer ones. Them the messed up cells. Them the sin-laden cells. You know what I mean? They doing whatever they want to do. Them sin cells. Them sin cells, they would have eaten up everything else. All right, yeah. They call cancer, you understand that? Called diabetes. Them cells come out of the tail stuff. You understand? But even in your body, say in your body, you got them white cells that be looking for them renegade cells. I'm a tennis renegade cell. Hell, get up out of here. You understand what I'm saying? The white cells, go back to hell where you came from. You understand what I'm saying? Back up on out of here. And that's how we should be. Somebody come against us, we got to deal with that. It's prayer circle. It's time to say, let's deal with this thing in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Let's war with this thing. Do you follow what I'm saying? So no better be closer than the body of Christ. That's one of the things we talked about yesterday in the summit. If we going to argue, we going to argue in private. The world ain't going to see us messing up. The world ain't going to see us fighting one another. The world will not see us tearing each other up on TV. No, we're going to get it right in the house. And it's the exact opposite. But God says, say God says. First Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Believe God. How do we believe God? We believe his word. Which means we got to read it and understand it. And ask questions. One thing I like about that young man right there. Clint ain't afraid to ask no questions. Stay that way, Clint. Don't change. You got some people, you know, that will sit up in the class and what they say when they leave, like, hey, Clint, you know what he meant?
Yeah.
Well, dang, man, why you asking? He right there. Yeah. Clint don't say, what's that word mean? I said, cool, I can appreciate that. What I have a problem with is when people sit up there and they're like, lying in the presence of the Lord. Lying. No, you ain't got a clue. And I'm sitting here to help you.
Right.
Then go out inside and be like, oh, Sister Katrina, what was I talking about? How you asking? He said it right there.
Right.
That's why we here. He asked the question.
Right.
Are you following me?
And see
what I have found is that if you were a poor student, you have a tendency to bring your past to your present. So you got picked at when you asked questions back when you was in eighth grade. Now you listen to them same voices. You better ask them questions, they're gonna think you dumb.
Yeah.
Then you go mute. That's real. I should give quizzes at the church in Georgia. 40 people in the class, 5 show up. Where everybody at? And all of them be in the morning service. Well, what happened to Sunday school, bro? All of them just gonna show up for church service. Clint, ain't none of them from Sunday school, but 5. Then the 5 be like, well, you know, Pastor, they scared because they ain't do well in school. You know what I mean? They still got test anxiety. Your buddy here. You got Jesus the Holy Ghost in you, bro. Sit your butt up in here in class. Well, you know, I went out, Pastor, I wasn't that good at school. I said, what you saying? No. You got the Holy Ghost now. You out here tripping. You got a helper now.
Yes.
You don't know that. You don't understand. Ask. Church people, man, got a greater gift on the inside of them tripping. You understand what I'm saying? Then we had those who thought they know everything. Them pride, they pride. Them the ones I had real problems with. See, the smartest people should be the most humble. When you smart and arrogant, you a fool. What you think you know, you don't even know. You got knowledge, but you ain't got no wisdom. Because the really smart, they come to one conclusion. There's still more to learn. And I still should have my ears open to receive more. Do you understand what I'm saying? You follow that? So God shows you both what perspectives. Even Jesus, as smart as he was, always asked questions. Read what the scripture says about Jesus. They were asking him, they were amazed at what he knew. But guess what he was always doing? Asking questions. What about this? And what does the scripture mean when it says this? And how do I apply this to my life? Do you follow me? I'm going to go get me a job, and God's going to open the door. You follow what I'm saying? Every believer should have a physical, say physical, regimen. A physical regimen. That means physical activity to strengthen your body. Because guess what that is? Your temple. Every believer should have a job. If you can't get a job, that's a problem with you. Because God won't open doors. Why? So you can be responsible. Why? So you can take care of your business. You can buy your clothes. Guess what? You got to leave mom and daddy's house sometime. Do you follow me? You're in school to grow up so you can be an adult. That's the whole process. So you can leave mamas and daddies and get your own. Do you follow me? Because if you stay with mom and daddy too long, guess what? You're going to start clashing. Do you follow me? You follow that? And even if, say even if, you don't. I was working at 15, at 14. Best thing that ever happened to me. Teach you responsibility. Teach you how to communicate with others. Teach you how to handle your money. And gives you a desire for more. Because Clint, 365 wasn't enough for me. That was the minimum wage when I was working. Okay. Say $3. Before that, it was like $2.75.
I think it was $5.23 when I started working.
And God kept open doors. Do you know I had a scholarship to go to college from the boys' club? The man didn't miss the dates, but they didn't have no football team. Come on, coach, I'm gonna play football a little bit, man. Concord College and a couple other colleges. They got baseball, softball, you know what I mean? But I'm like, man, I want, can I play football? But I was blessed just to be offered.
That's right. Yeah.
Why? Because he liked me and he saw what my work ethic was.
Amen.
When you get out, say, get off the bench,
and
get in the game, God will open up doors. But if you sit down this slipping around ain't doing nothing, God ain't going to put no effort into something you ain't put no effort in. You follow me there? Say, blessings come. They're already waiting. Remember, God established your blessing before you showed up. But you got to walk into them. Say, you got to walk into them. You ever read Psalm 68:19? Psalm 68:19. For God says, your day, he daily loads you with benefits, even the God of my salvation. Say, daily loaded.
Daily loaded.
So every day you get up, God's got things prepared for you. But you got to get with him. Say, daily loaded.
Daily loaded.
See, sometimes the enemy will try to make you get up because the enemy fights. I told Pastor Rita I felt like I was going through, last week, a fit of depression. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Just an aboding. Say, an aboding. You know, pressure. I mean, just hold on, man. I gotta shake this off.
Amen.
And once you get to the office, you get yourself together. Because Pastor Reedy was like, "You need to get yourself together." I gotta tell the truth, baby. Stay in the church. Baby, sitting on the side of the car like this right here. You all right? Man, my mind. Say your mind be going. Think about all the stuff you got to do today. I mean, he just ain't trying to take you into the future, right, of your day,
right,
instead of you just staying calm where you are.
Right.
Yes. Got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And you know this. You know this. So you have to self-correct. Say, self-correct. You have to check yourself. Wait, hold up, hold up. So one thing I like about having my own office, I can shut my door,
right,
and I can get myself together.
Right.
Yeah.
Very, very reason up her hand. She got her own office.
Yes. All right, man.
Shut my door and get myself together. That's called getting quiet and saying, Lord, you are my source.
Amen.
Today, I've got benefits waiting for me. People and places are waiting for me to do me good because God has set me up for success and not failure.
Amen.
God has set me up.
Yes.
If I got up, I'm set up.
Amen.
Yeah. Make a t-shirt out of that one.
Yes.
If I got up, I'm set up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm set up. If I got up, I'm set up. God has got me. He's waiting. My day is established.
It's good.
I had some totally different setup, but hey, Rachel said I got 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Don't let the cares of the world, man, drown out the joy of the Lord. Don't let the cares of your daily life drown out the joy of God. An attack of the enemy, and it's deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a season of great deception.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe nobody now. Everybody lying.
Mm-hmm.
Lying about this, they lying about that. It's a spirit of deception out here, and the Bible tells us that we should be discerning this, examining every spirit by the Spirit. Evaluating everything by the Spirit. And when you look at things that aren't right in your family, declare what God says.
Yeah.
Pray for these people at the top. Pray for your leadership. Still pray for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that they get saved.
Yes.
Pray that they won't even prosper unless they do what the will of God is. Because everything they do affects you and I. Say, open up doors. Create breaches. Say, breaches for the enemy to come in. Stay at a place of peace and watch your words. Stay in a place of peace. But watch your words.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, be thankful. God doesn't like complaining people. He killed off a whole tribe of them. Always complaining. God bless them, they complaining. Fussing about everything. If you're a fusser, get delivered. You know what I mean when I say fusser Clinton? Always complaining. With thanksgiving, say, make your requests. Made known to God. Then he says, and the peace of God. After I've made my request, peace comes. To keep your hearts and minds. Say what? By Christ Jesus. Say, by Christ Jesus. Remember this. Just because we're under judgment does not mean God is not blessing. So in the same room, same environment, blessings and curses. Blessings and curses. Egypt. Under the judgment of God, but Goshen experiencing the blessings of God.
Amen.
You follow that, saints? Those who are committed to God, when all the turmoil was going on, God was judging the nation's gods. God is judging this nation's gods. When government takes your money and kills babies, that's a judgment coming on the nation. Oh, but that, see, that's the problem with y'all. See, y'all love that stuff more than you love see people taking care of you. Government's not supposed to take care of them. If you even thinking like that, God ain't even part of your perspective for support. Do you see how Satan works things? And see, when you don't prepare, you got to look for others to take care. Do you follow me? There was a time when black people didn't take handouts. Just give me a job. Let me work. My great-great-grandfather ran his own business. Chicken Shack. He was a Pullman porter for 6 months out of the year. That means he served white people on a train. Took that money, went down to Georgia, Bainbridge. Probably one of the most racist places you could possibly be. Them Ku Klux Klan down in Bainbridge was rough. But he made enough money doing that and running a chicken shack that he sent his sisters, his daughters, my grandmothers, to private school. 8th grade education to do geometry. This was his attitude. That can't be too hard. I can figure that out. Black teacher with a degree, 8th grade. You know, we can be hard on each other. Your daddy ain't do this work. My daddy showed me how to do this. Angel said, Daddy, he said you can't do this work. He said, well, baby, let me go put my hard hat on. Take his overalls off, put his clean Sunday go to meeting shoes on. Go right down to school. And then they get kind of rough like this. You said I can't do geometry, sir? Put the problem on the board. Just because I had an 8th grade don't mean I don't know nothing. Now you give my daughter the grade that she deserves. Because you know, some people get an education, they think they're higher than everybody else. granddaddy put him in his place. But there was a Klansman. Granddaddy didn't know it. You should come and spend time with him. Sit down at the chicken shack, talk to him. W.T.? His name is William Taylor, they call him W.T. You seem to be having a real good business over here, W.T. He said, oh yeah, I do pretty good. Yeah, looks like you're doing real good. So he got a big order one night, frying up everything he got. And the Klan come and take it all. Don't leave him a dime. Mama used to have to hide outside under the shack. Because when the Klan come, he send the children home. Next day, he got a stash of money. Because he ain't spent all his Pullman Porter money. He learned how to save. See, them old folks save money. We can't save a dime. Spend everything we get. But these old people, who don't have the degrees we have, smarter than we are. So he come back, W.T., what happened? I heard somebody took advantage of you. Yeah, they did. He said, but you see, I'm up and running again. That happened two more times. Come to find out when that man died suddenly and violently. He died suddenly and violently. He got his head cut off. Come to find out he was the Dram Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. And see, granddaddy's business, he didn't want to see it prosper. I'm here to tell you, if God is on your side, can't no man keep you down. See, granddaddy didn't let nobody keep him down. Take his kids to the school, be wearing them overalls, cooking and cleaning, but when it was time to go downtown, spit, I ain't got nothing on him. My old people used to put their powers on their shoes, Clinton, you can see your face and see your image. Be walking downtown and be like, ooh, W.T., you look real good today. Thank you, sir. He was a cook. So them steaks come in, he cut sections off, poof, put it aside. They was going to throw it away. He cut enough. Family going to eat good tonight. Them people were resourceful. We got to pick that up again. We got to trust God. Pick that up again. Believe in ourselves. Man got an 8th grade education. Daughter bring home geometry. He said, I can figure that out. Confidence. Which means he had to spend some time to do it with her. Can't be afraid. Say, can't be afraid. To go to the next level. Do it with your knees shaking. But set goals for yourself. Finish what you start. Say finish. Quit letting stuff linger for years. Get it done and move on to the next phase. Pastor Reggie and Pastor Reed, and we're here to help one another. We are here to help one another. If we are in Christ, we shall have success. If we are in Christ, we shall see change. If we are in Christ, there should be some testimonies in this house. It shouldn't be gloom and doom, man. It should be good news. And when there's bad news, we pray out it. We pray out of it. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm believing Katrina gonna move into a new place this year. Hallelujah. she can cook us dinner in her own house. Glory to God. Uh-huh. Have Christmas party over her house. We be tight, but it be right. You know what I'm saying? Ownership. Ownership. Believe she gonna get her degree too. Finish up that degree. Get a significant income and pay.
Yes.
Mimi, get back in school, girl. Get back in school. Time to finish up. You're too bright. Too smart. She got all the talents already. Get back in school to make this thing happen. Delisha, get the GED. Quit playing. Quit playing. We believe Clint gonna walk into something big time. Amen. He got some things he wants. We believe God gonna grace him to get the things he got in his heart to do. Amen. Glory to God. Believe Nigel and Josh and Achilles gonna excel. Amen. Mother Cardrain, keep on living, girl. You're looking good. You represent well. Jackie, keep being you. Amen. Don't settle for second best. Be the absolute best. Glory to God. You cooking yet? Not yet? W, you letting her cook yet?
Is she on?
You got, she ain't letting go control. I'm telling you. Tell me. Trust God. Don't do something with her. You just preparing her. Because you never know.
She's
good
for herself. She's good.
I'm
crying.
She's good
for
that fried burger.
Oh, you can cook a burger?
That's what I'm saying.
So good. Because train them, train them, train them.
Cook me a burger.
I ain't
anything.
George said he didn't say nothing. He ain't going to eat no hyena, right? This is a casual conversation. God had me going this way. Glory to God. Amen. But I just want to let you all know that, man, we love you guys.
We love you too, sir.
We love you guys.